WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Leaving Berlin before boarding Air Force One, President Biden was asked about the Israeli army's killing of the top leader of Hamas in Gaza Wednesday.
I think that there's a possibility of working for a ceasefire in Lebanon, and it's going to be harder in Gaza, but we agree that there has to be an outcome. What happens the day after?
The president met with leaders of Australia, India, Japan, and the U.S. in Berlin. Some news outlets reporting that former President Trump is canceling interviews because he's exhausted. Vice President Kamala Harris, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
He is ducking debates and canceling interviews.
Also in Michigan, the former president.
I've gone 48 days now without arrest.
Though still recovering from Hurricane Helene, voters in North Carolina have joined Georgians in setting a state record for the first day of early voting. Over 350,000 votes cast in North Carolina today. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senator Tammy Baldwin and challenger Eric Hovde meet tonight for their only debate. You can hear it on many Civic Media stations tonight at 6:50. Groups are asking the state attorney general to look into intimidating text messages sent to young adults about voting in Wisconsin. Jay Heck of Common Cause says he thinks most won't fall for it.
I think younger people, by and large, I think are less susceptible to some of this stuff that they see in the texts that they get because they're just more used to social media. And I think a lot of them are probably a little more savvy about whether it's true or not.
The texts warn of fines or jail time for breaking election laws. Critics say the intent is to scare young people into not voting. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Tonight is the Wisconsin Senate debate between Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican challenger Eric Hovde. Both candidates have been making multiple appearances across the state in recent days, with Baldwin in western Wisconsin for several stops early in the week. It is one of the most expensive races for U.S. Senate in the country, with polls showing the race getting closer as November approaches. You can listen to tonight's debate on the free Civic Media app on WMDX and several other stations on the network. Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris spoke at a rally at UW-La Crosse yesterday, one of three stops in Wisconsin as she campaigns ahead of the general election in November. Harris, who spoke in La Crosse back in April before taking the top spot on the presidential ticket, also appeared in Milwaukee and Green Bay on either side of the La Crosse rally. The three stops mark her sixth visit to Wisconsin since the summer, and the first appearances here since speaking on October 3rd in Ripon. The election is November 5th. For Civic Media News in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Bucks preseason ends with a loss. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing in Dallas 109-84. Doc Rivers playing a lot of his younger players. What did he think of watching Giannis and Damian Lillard coaching the rookies?
I loved it. I love that. I just think we got so many young guys on our team. The way they can be taught right is by obviously the coaches, but really the players. And when we have a group of guys that are invested in our young guys, I think that's going to pay dividends.
NFL, the Green Bay Packers play the Houston Texans Sunday, featuring quarterback C.J. Stroud. The Packers have 17 takeaways this season, the most in the NFL, thanks to new defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley, who says they have a team meeting called The Ball, where all they do is talk about turnovers.
We're talking about it each week. It's not just talk. It's not like hearsay, like, hey, we're going to attack the ball and be good at taking away the ball. We've dedicated a whole meeting to it. When I was in San Francisco with the Niners, Kyle had me do that meeting every Thursday for 2 years.
That's Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 50s. For tomorrow, a gradual clearing and cooler, highs mid-70s. Sunny, warmer and upper 70s on Sunday. Temps stay above average to start next week, as highs stay in the 70s. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
Matt Nair on Air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
You can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll have a guest from Planned Parenthood on how the fight to restore women's health care rights is not losing steam as Election Day draws near.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Sorry to break it to you. It's not Dom Salvia. It's Matt Rothschild here. Subbing in for Dom, who's on vacation today as he was yesterday. He'll be back on Monday. Don't fear. Everything is cool. And I invite you to join the conversation here at 855-752-4842 or 855-75-CIVIC, because we're on the Civic Media Radio Network all across the great state of Wisconsin. We do have a call from Northwoods, Terry. Terry, what's on your mind?
I was just going to say, Matt, what I hear up here all the time is migration, you know, that bill that didn't go through. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, did that allow 5,000 and stop at that per day? Am I off on that?
I believe it would allow the president to say no more than 5,000 a day, if I'm not mistaken. Terry, where are you in Northwoods, Terry?
Rice Lake.
You've
been up here, Matt.
I have been. I've spoken up there. I enjoy that area. It's a beautiful part of Wisconsin. But it amazes me that the migration issue can play, you know, in the Northwoods of Wisconsin or, you know, in the dairy state at all, because, of course, our dairy industry would be totally ground to a halt if they had horrendous mass deportations like Donald Trump's talking about it. Whole other industries like the restaurant industry would collapse. And this idea that we can survive well here in Wisconsin by cracking down on immigrants is just ridiculous. And I think anyone who's been working in businesses around the state knows how valuable that immigrant labor is. So I'm hoping the people of Wisconsin are smart enough to see through the fear mongering on immigration. I mean, as I said before, I mean, what has Trump got? What do they have the Republicans got right now, except bigotry against immigrants, bigotry against trans folks? I mean, it's just, it's disgusting.
That's all they got, Matt. And but with the red hats that I talked to, they want it down to zero.
Well,
I mean, that's, you know,
they're not being very smart because they don't understand what's going to happen to their communities, our communities. So Northwoods, Terry, thanks so much and enjoy Rice Lake. I hope to come up there again sometime soon. And now I'm just delighted to be joined by Jody Habish-Sinikin, who's running against one of my least favorite Republicans, Dewey Strobel, in the 8th Senate District, a district that runs from Whitefish Bay up to Port Washington and also a bit to the west. Civic Media's Dan Schaefer says this might be the single most interesting race in the Wisconsin State Legislature happening this year. Jody Habish-Sinikin, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you very much, Matt. Happy to be here.
You know, it's great to see you. I remember working with you when you were at Midwest Environmental Advocates, doing tremendous work to protect the beautiful environment here in Wisconsin, our tremendous natural resources here. And I was tickled when you ran last time and you just barely lost. And I was crushed to see that. But, you know, I admired you for throwing your hat in the ring the first time because you hadn't run for office, to my knowledge, before that. And here you are again, running in a very important race. And what gives you the courage to jump into this political fray?
I really, as an environmental attorney for all these years and being so involved with our community, I have seen for too long now that under the gerrymander that Wisconsin's legislature has been stuck in gridlock with legislators not working across the aisle or even with each other in their own party. And given the skills that I have learned and have practiced as an environmental attorney and passing the Great Lakes Compact, Wisconsin's puppy mill bill, et cetera, I very much know I have the skills, and I did not want to stand by and watch Dewey Strobel be unchallenged in this very important Senate seat.
You know, it's interesting. I'm reminded of a comment that a woman who's been very active in the Democratic Party of Wisconsin for many years once told me. She said, potential candidates would come up to her. She's a donor, would come up to her for money. And she would say, you know, Matt, when I have male candidates come up to me and I ask them why they're running, usually it's because they just want to run and want to get, want the prestige of getting a post. But when women candidates come up to me, they're running for a purpose. They're running because they want to achieve a specific objective or move things along on an issue that's really important to them. And that's what you reminded of me. It reminded me of there. You mentioned the rigged maps. Now, this district has been redistricted. We have fairer maps now. Is this district more competitive than it was before?
Yeah, it certainly was. During the special election, before the maps have changed, there was a baked-in 12-point Republican advantage, making it very difficult for Democrats to run with any chance of success. As you mentioned, I did get within 2 points, just around 1,200 votes shy of prevailing against Dan Knodel in that special election, but it was a steep climb. Mm-hmm. Under the new maps, they are certainly fairer. Under the Marquette poll, there is still about a 6-point Republican advantage at the outset. But I'm happy to report that I believe we are very much 50-50 right now, and we have overcome that disadvantage.
Oh, that's impressive. Now, you just come in from knocking on the doors, you told me. What are you hearing at the doors?
Gosh, today, too. It's been every day this week and, of course, all the weeks and months before this. I am hearing very much that people have it up to here with the divisiveness and the lack of progress in Wisconsin, and particularly are looking at our legislators. They are familiar with Dewey Strobel's reputation as an obstructionist, many of those who know him. For those doors I'm knocking on who do not know him personally or have experiences with him, I do walk through what he has failed to accomplish and how he has been holding up so many vital funds in his role on the Joint Finance Committee. But at the doors, first and foremost, it's just frustration, lack of progress. And the second most common comments and discussions I'm having is around women's reproductive freedoms. It is front and center on everyone's mind. And I mean it. It's not just the women answering the door. It is most certainly also men who put that as their first or second top issue.
And Dewey Strobel on this issue is horrible, isn't he?
He is literally the most extreme far right legislator in Wisconsin on this issue. He has not just been opposed to abortion in all circumstances, but he's voted against a right to contraception. He has moved to amend the Constitution to include fetal personhood language, which is we all kind of saw what happened in Alabama when that came up, which would have put and would in Wisconsin also compromise IVF, which is extraordinarily important to so many families in Wisconsin, as well as he was the single, sole, one and only state senator in Wisconsin who voted against expanding Medicaid to the most vulnerable moms in Wisconsin. He voted to prevent that expansion from 60 days to a year, leaving Wisconsin in a position that it's only us in Arkansas in the whole country who has opposed that expansion of medical visits for new moms and their babies.
No, that's not great company to be in. Now, have you had a debate with him? Excuse my ignorance on that.
No, we haven't had one. And he actually, we just received word this earlier this week that he has pulled out of the one that we had set in motion for a week before the election.
Really? So there's going to be no debate whatsoever?
That's correct.
Well, that's not a really good competitive spirit there. I mean, the people of that district, they deserve to hear from both candidates. I mean, I'm a firm believer that debates are important, that citizens in each district should be able to hear from both candidates in a debate. I mean, that's pretty standard, isn't it?
It really is. I did have a very productive, and I was very pleased with the debate that I had with Dan Knodel in the special election, and my supporters and others were very much appreciated that opportunity to chew through the issues. In this case, it is not going to happen. Fortunately, there have been other forums where we have had an opportunity facilitated by journalists to have a compare contrast with our priorities and our records. So just this past week, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did an excellent piece, actually two pieces, comparing and contrasting Dewey Strobel and myself in terms of what our values are, our priorities, our accomplishments. And I do encourage your listeners and viewers to look that up.
At the Journal Sentinel.
That's correct.
Yeah. And so, at the doors, what do you tell people your values are?
I tell them very much that, again, as I mentioned, I am somebody who has the ability and more just the convictions of the importance of working across the aisle to get things done. You don't have to agree with every aspect of a piece of proposed legislation or the people that you're working with to be able to work things forward. And I did that, as you referenced, with the Great Lakes Compact. We had to really get into the trees of that forest over a several year process to be able to pass that 8 Great Lakes state, 2 Canadian provinces, and a national compact. And I promise you, there was a lot of things that could have gotten caught up in partisan debate and dysfunction, but we were able to work through that. And I was representing a statewide coalition of conservationists and environmentalists, public officials, local communities, and the like. And we were able to get that done. And the issues that's facing Wisconsin now also require that spirit of bipartisanship for us to be able to move forward. Everyone knows that Wisconsin is a purple state, and this Senate District 8 is certainly about as purple as you can get. So you really do need a legislator who is not far right extremist like Dewey Strobel, but somebody who really does reflect the values of the district, which is not a radical district.
I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in here for Dom on the Dom Salvia Show. I'm speaking with Jody Habish-Sinikin, who's running against Dewey Strobel in the 8th Senate District, just north of Milwaukee, along the lake and a little bit to the west. And we'll be back in a little bit, just a minute or so, and I want to hear what you'd like to accomplish if you win the election and what you think Democrats can accomplish if they gain the Assembly and maybe take the Senate this time or next. We'll be right back on the Dom Salvia Show.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Questions you might hear a lot this fall. Will my team make the playoffs? How much snow are we getting this winter? And whatever happened to Tammy Baldwin? After 25 years in D.C., Baldwin sides with the extreme left. Baldwin voted to give nearly $1 billion in COVID relief money to criminals in prison, even the Boston Marathon bomber. That's nuts. and she supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters to admit biological men who claim to be women. Baldwin even backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. So here's one more question. Now that Baldwin's gone so far left, why should we keep her in the Senate? It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt Rothschild with you here on the Dom Salvia Show. Thanks for hanging around with me. And I've been delighted to have on the line here Jody Habish-Sinikin, who's running against Dewey Strobel in the 8th Senate District, the district that runs from Whitefish Bay up to Port Washington and over to the west just a little bit. I wanted to ask you, Jody, you know, if you win this election, what's the number one issue you'd like to address once you get to the state Senate?
Well, first and foremost, what we need in Wisconsin is legislation that will address the uncertainty that is remaining around women's health care access. And I would want to introduce legislation that would provide certainty that we have Roe v. Wade protections for Wisconsin women, as we have had for over 50 years until the Dobbs decision. That is really needed. I have been meeting with many doctors across not just the district, but across the state, who are really underscoring how that uncertainty is putting women's lives still in danger in many parts of the state. And it's preventing us having access to enough doctors to take care of women. So that would be my first priority as a legislator.
You know, Jody, you remind me of a conversation I had with an OBGYN in southern Wisconsin who was put in a horrible circumstance where she had a patient who was potentially bleeding out, and she had to get a couple other doctors to come in and say it's okay. This, you know, this is before a judge in Wisconsin said that 1849 ban was unconstitutional. They had to give her permission to essentially to save her patient's life. I mean, no doctor should be put in that position. No woman should be put in that position. And it's just horrible that that women in Wisconsin were put in that position after the Dobbs decision. I also fault the Democrats who were in power briefly in all three branches of government here in Wisconsin years ago for not taking that law off the books and enshrining Roe v. Wade. So I'm glad that's going to be one of the first things you do if you get in. Now, even if you win, it seems unlikely that Democrats are going to be in charge of the state Senate. There is a fighting chance, an even chance, that Democrats could grab hold of the state assembly. What difference do you think that change in power would have for our politics?
It would be important, even if we get close in both. As you are right to say, the state Senate, we have to wait for another year and a half till 2026 to be able to have the odd-numbered Senate seats resolved. But this seat, my Senate seat, is the must-have, must-win seat for us to achieve a Democratic majority in 2026, because the next Senate seats coming up in that session will be less competitive. Mine is known as the most competitive, again, because of the maps and that advantage that I shared with you at the start of our conversation. If we are successful in turning this district blue after 30 plus years of Republican legislators sitting here, it would be really important to put that pressure and to create, again, that energy for bipartisan work and progress in Wisconsin. For the assembly, I have also heard that we're going to get either we're going to get to the majority or we're going to get close enough that we will, again, still create that positive change for legislators being willing to work together again rather than just ignoring all cooperation.
I mean, isn't it amazing what fair maps can do for our state and for our democracy?
Yes.
And you talk about how politicians and the Republicans in power here since the Walker rigging of the maps in 2010 have not, you know, gotten felt that they needed to get along with anybody. I mean, I remember going to many hearings, some I testified at and some I was just, you know, sitting in the audience. They were so disrespectful, the Republican chairs, to their Democratic colleagues, cutting them off, laughing at them, you know, acting like they were just kind of high school bullies and not giving, you know, not caring a bit of what the Democrats had to say, not willing to work together on anything. That's why the people aren't getting what they want in Wisconsin. I mean, expansion of Medicaid, you mentioned earlier, legalizing medical marijuana, much less commercial, you know, recreational marijuana. Those are, you know, 67% for recreational, 82% for medical marijuana or more. I mean, there are things, expansion, you know, of healthcare coverage, education spending. There are things that people in Wisconsin, vast majorities of people in Wisconsin have wanted for years and years and years. If you look at the polls, haven't been able to get because of the rigged maps, haven't been able to get because Republicans were totally disregarding what the vast majority of Wisconsinites wanted. And to that extent, our democracy wasn't working. The rigged maps had put a real kink in the way that democracy is supposed to work. So I'm just delighted that the fair maps are giving someone like you, Jody Habish-Sinikin, a chance to have a fair fight with the Republican Dewey Strobel in the 8th Senate District. Why don't you tell our listeners who may be impressed with you as I am, Jody, how they might be able to help your campaign?
Yeah, well, thank you. We are very much with just about, gosh, it's a little over 2 weeks to go. We're very much in those last days. Anyone who lives in the district, canvassers, always needed, postcard writers, phone calls, anyone that you know, please make those phone calls and let them know that this election matters to them. Of course, for fundraising, that always goes into radio time and commercials. And it's they can look me up, my website up on online, of course. So all of those ways helps to build the energy and the solidarity so that none of us have to feel a sense of regret that we didn't do enough to affect the change that we've been waiting on for so long.
No regrets. We got to work. That's Jody Habish-Sinikin, S-I-N-Y-K-I-N. That's S-I-N-Y-K-I-N. Look her up. Help her out.
Make sure to check the podcast notes for a quick and easy link.
Oh, there you go, Jess. Thanks. Jody Habish-Sinikin, thanks so much for being my guest on the Dom Salvia Show.
I appreciate it so much. Have a nice weekend, everybody.
Yeah, you too. And enjoy the nice weather while you're knocking on doors. Wear some sunscreen. It's going to be sunny out there.
It's true. Thanks, Matt. Thank you, Jess, too.
Oh, it's just great having you as a guest. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for Dom. You may know me as the former editor and publisher at the Progressive Magazine or executive director at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I love being on civic media and helping out here to the extent that I can. We're going to be right back with an organizer right here on campus, the University of Wisconsin, with the Democratic Party trying to turn out the vote. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
So I think one of the biggest challenges with any campus like UW-Madison that attracts a lot of people from out of state is people are always going, their voter registration is always going to have to be checked, rechecked, re-registered, and all of that. So just making sure people have the resources. I mean, online registration ended. We did a lot there. We were tabling multiple days a week, contacting students in between class, making sure they were registered to vote online. We're sending people to the clerk's office now.
One thing I'm wondering is, are you urging people who are from New York or California or Illinois, where their vote isn't going to make that much of a difference, to register here in Wisconsin?
Yes, we're making sure, we're asking what state they're from, and if they aren't from another battleground state, we're telling them to vote in Wisconsin, because I feel like a lot of people don't participate in elections because I feel like their voice doesn't matter. But when the election in 2020 was decided by two to three votes per precinct, your vote matters. So if you get your roommates to vote, their friends, you can really turn the tide of this election and be the defining vote.
Yeah, every vote matters here for sure. Obama and Walz are supposed to be coming on Tuesday here to Madison. Do you know where they're going to be speaking yet?
I do not know where they're going to be speaking yet, but College Dems will be there. I think that's bringing a lot of buzz, too, because people my age, we love Obama, but when he was president, we weren't old enough to really interact with his campaign. So I was talking to people on the street, at work, at the bars last night, and people are so excited to go, and that's really bringing the enthusiasm people out to vote.
So Obama still got the magic.
Yes, he definitely has the magic. And we have so many students from Minnesota that just adore Tim Walz. So this is really a winning event that we have coming up Tuesday.
I like Tim Walz too. Do you think it was a good pick?
It was a very good pick. He feels like America's dad. He's very relatable. He's a teacher, so he understands the youth. So yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you coming by the studio here. I've been speaking with Jeff Messer of the College Dems here in Madison at UW, and he'll be busy the next 18 days, as we all should be, as we try to get the vote out and make Wisconsin number one in voter turnout. That's what I'm hoping we'll be. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. We'll be back with our final segment. Thanks for staying tuned.
Thank you.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax on everyday products. It will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris. A better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Matt Nair on Air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
You can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here. We're not crying. We're enjoying being on the air with you.
We're not crying anymore.
Yeah, I need to apologize. We had a little audio problem there, a little dead air for a little bit. But Jess has solved all the problems, and we're back up and running. And thanks for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm the former editor and publisher of the Progressive Magazine, and was it the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign for almost a decade. Dom's on vacation today. He'll be back on Monday. I appreciate all the guests we've had on today. It was great having Messer here from the College Dems and Scott Ross and Jody Habish-Sinikin and Bianca Shaw. I thank them all for being here. I thank you, Jess, for troubleshooting.
Always, always.
Which is crazy. I do want to draw attention to an article that was in the New York Times today. It was entitled "Forget Swing States." It's these 21 micro communities that could decide the election.
Oh,
so it's interesting. It was by a pollster at Echelon Heights, which sounds like it's a subdivision in Middleton or Fitchburg, but I guess it's a polling company. Anyway, they get to Wisconsin, and he talks about Dane County. Of course, he talks about the wow counties around Milwaukee as being pivotal. And also the Fox Valley, but he also mentions Southwest Wisconsin, noting, and I'm going to quote here briefly, in 2016, Wisconsin's driftless region in the rural Southwest of Wisconsin was ground zero for rural Republican realignment, with voters there moving rightward from 2012 by a net of 24 points by 2016. But he noted the Republicans only had a 13-point margin in 2020 that's lower than what they had in other rural areas. Given the importance of the driftless area in this election just 18 days from now, and Todd Albaugh's from there, he's from Richland Center, he talks about it a lot on the Todd Albaugh Show, I wanted to hear again the wise words from Dale Schultz, former majority leader of the Republicans in the state Senate. Dale Schultz is kind of a hero of mine because he's been a champion of getting rid of these gerrymandered maps. And he also was brave during the Walker years in opposing Act 10 and also opposing the mining bill. He's not afraid to stick his neck out, and he stuck his neck out once more, Tess. So if you could play that clip, that would be great.
Of course.
After 50 years in politics, 32 years in the state legislature as a proud Republican, I am throwing my support to Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in their quest for the White House.
And let's also hear the second clip where he recognizes that it won't be enough just for him, even though he's held this pivotal position within the Republican Party. It's on all of us.
I have friends and neighbors who so generously supported me for those 32 years will pay attention to the issues, listen to the candidates, and come to a conclusion that the Harris-Waltz team is the best for our future, and we'll get out and vote. I'll say it again, we'll get out and vote because it is so important. Our future depends on it.
So that's Dale Schultz. Dale Schultz was the most powerful Republican in the state Senate here in Wisconsin for several years. He is telling everyone who ever voted for him, and all their friends for that matter, to whether they identify as Republican or independent or Democrat, but especially if they identify as a Republican or an independent, to do what he did, and that is to choose Kamala Harris because it is so important right now for our democracy. And I know Dale Schultz. I know he is a patriot. I know he believes strongly in our democracy. And to me, this was an act of courage on his part, and I hope more Republicans will follow his lead, Republicans in leadership. But also, if you're a Republican or an independent and you're listening to this and you know Dale Schultz, and you also know what we're up against with Donald Trump, who just seems crazier and crazier.
By the day, by the minute.
Mm-hmm. I hope you will take his advice and vote for Kamala Harris. Your votes make a difference. There's no reason to view politics as just my team versus their team. That is just kind of juvenile, if you'll excuse me. I mean,
no, it is. And I think it's telling that a lot of the people who we've had on here who are saying, we need to be able to work together. We need to be able to work across the aisle. We need to be able to work towards the common good of all American people. Those are the people with the D behind their name, for the most part. And those who have an R behind their name, they're saying, yeah, this is the party that I love. And that guy does not represent me.
Right. And that's why I also admire the National Security Republicans who've come out, more than 200 of them. That's why I admire the former military leaders in this country who usually keep their mouth shut and oftentimes are Republican. But, you know, we have Mark Milley, a former Joint Chief of Staff, the leading military figure, telling us that Donald Trump is a fascist to the core. We have Esper, who is Defense Secretary. You have, you know, other military leaders who served with Donald Trump who've been warning us over and over again. And now, fortunately, Kamala Harris is using that in a commercial. I hope that commercial runs far and wide. These quotes from these military leaders telling us how dangerous Donald Trump is. They know it. They saw it right up close. You couldn't have gotten closer. This guy is not someone we should trust to be in the Oval Office ever again. And that's why I'm urging everyone who's listening right now, no matter what party you affiliate with or whether you're an independent, to vote for Kamala Harris. Jess, I want to thank you so much for being a tremendous producer today. I want to thank all the callers, all the guests. It's great being with you. Stay tuned at 10 to 7 for the debate and for the coverage of that debate. Afterwards, you've been listening to the Dom Salvia Show. He'll be back on Monday. Have a nice weekend.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend's news, get you up to date, and mark early voting in person starting on Tuesday. Be with us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.